There was a young sentry who was on guard for the very first time, and he had orders that you are not to admit any car onto the base unless it has special identification seal on its bumper. And in the middle of the night, an unmarked car approached the guard shack, and the sentry stopped it, and inside was a general. A general and his driver, and it was a general that was very recognizable. And when the sentry advised them that he could not admit any car because your car does not have the special seal on it, the general became impatient and somewhat angry. So ignoring the sentry, the general leaned forward and told his driver, "Don't worry about it, just drive right on through." And when the sentry heard this, he looked into the back seat and he said, very politely, "I'm sorry, sir, I'm new at this. Could you please inform me who I should shoot first, you or the driver?" Who should I listen to? Who has the authority to tell me what is right and what is wrong? And in this story that we've just heard, the sentry fully understood his responsibilities, but a man with powerful rank who had the authority and the importance was testing him. And as far as the sentry was concerned, he only had one authority, and that was the authority of the person who gave him the orders, his boss, and no one else was sufficiently important or powerful enough to override those instructions. Now, there are times when people get worried about who's in charge in the church. I've heard this phrase in the past that, "Dave, you're the boss." Well, in some churches, the people in charge are those with the position of authority, whether it's the Pope or some figurehead like that, or a church hierarchy or a church council that has met forever and ever. It's the elders or the deacons, the pastor, the church board. There's always been somebody in the church who says, "I'm the boss." Well, how many of you have heard of something called spiritual bullies? Anybody? Spiritual bullies in some churches are those people who suggest that they have some sort of a special relationship with God. They say things like, "God told me to do this," or "God told me to do that." Or they go beyond that and they tell you, "God is telling me to tell you that you have to do this. If you don't do this, God is going to smite you. If you, the Spirit gave me this message for you, and you have to do this." And on some occasions, God is speaking to us like that. But sometimes, these people are filled with the desire to have an authority over you, to have power over you, to force you to do something that you don't want to do in your life. And they're doing it out of these selfish ambitions. Now, there's a story of about a pastor who was bullied in his own church. He was bullied by his own congregation. You see, there was this woman in his congregation who was a gifted sculptor. And she very happily came to visit the pastor one day during the week, and she explained that God had inspired her to sculpt something for the church. And he knew about her talent. He had seen her work, and she was good. So he was pleased to hear this. You know, what her sculptures, they sold for a lot of money because she was good at what she did. And to have something like this in the church, wow, that would be great. And the pastor was pleased to hear this, and she explained that the piece was for the foyer of the church. And this piece was actually in the back of her pickup truck. And she said, "Well, can we bring it into the church right now?" So the pastor, they go out to the truck. And he sees the truck, and in the box of the truck is this crate about 6 feet long, about 2 feet deep, and about 4 feet high. This thing is big. And when he sees the size of the crate, he says, "We've got to move some stuff around in the foyer. This is going to take time to place this piece where it needs to go. So why don't we just put it in my office in the meantime? We'll cram it in there and So they got the crate into the pastor's office, and they took it out of the crate. And when the pastor saw this beautiful sculpture of Adam and Eve in all of their glory before the fall, standing in front of a tree. I mean, this sculpture, there was no discreetly placed hands or branches. It was Adam and Eve the way God created them. The pastor was a tad bit shocked. Wow. She desperately wanted to showcase her talents. And every week, she came back and said, "Where is the sculpture?" And the first week, she brought back this beautiful brass plaque with her name in big, bold letters as "Who sculpted this?" "This is to go on the sculpture, the Lord has told me." The next week, she comes back. "Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me again. He's told me where it's supposed to go in the foyer." "Obviously, he hasn't told you." And she takes him, and over they go, right in front of the missions board. "It's going to go here, Father. This is where it's supposed to go. God has told me." And the pastor's thinking, if I put this sculpture here, nobody's going to even be able to see the missions board. But God has told her, and he's getting more and more uneasy. The majority of the people, they've heard about this sculpture. What's going to happen? Thankfully, it had been not on display, but it was in the pastor's office, covered in a blanket for the big reveal. Literally. And then one Saturday night, the pastor and his wife were praying. They were praying specifically about what to do with this statue. What to do with this lady in their congregation. And God spoke to them. And so the next morning, sure enough, this lady came right up to the pastor. "The Lord has given me another message about the sculpture. And I want to know when you're going to display this. Because I'm calling an electrician. He's going to put in lights to highlight this sculpture. This beautiful wooden sculpture of mine." And the pastor smiled and said, "My wife and I were praying about it. And when God teaches my wife how to sew fig leaves, then we will put it on display." It was beautiful work. But she was bullying her way, bullying the pastor to get it where she wanted it, prominently displayed, and a piece that really wasn't appropriate for a foyer of a church. There are people who like to bully because they think they have this special relationship with God. And there are people who like to bully because they have this special position or they have special experiences. In fact, I knew of this elder who combined both of these. He believed that since he had been in the position of being a member for the last 50, 60, since the dawn of time, basically, that he had the ultimate say in what was going on. He was also a spiritual advisor outside of the church, in his workplace. The people looked up to him. They got a question about God, they go see him. I love this man dearly, but his intention to rule the church made him incredibly difficult to deal with. So who's the boss? We know who the bullies are, but who's the boss? Who's really in charge of the church? Who has the ultimate authority? Who is the person? Is it someone with authority or experiences who has a special relationship with God? I'm going to tell you that Paul tells us in Colossians. There's only one individual who has the authority. There's only one individual who has the experience. There's only one individual who has the credentials required to make the ultimate decision of what a church should be doing. And that person is Jesus Christ. Let's read what Paul says. Colossians chapter 1. "Image of the invisible God and on the earth, created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. In other words, Jesus is everything. There is nothing in heaven and on earth that could exist without him. He holds everything together. You ever heard of the scientist Stephen Hawking? He said that the eventual goal of science is to provide a simple theory that describes the whole universe. Well, guess what? That's Jesus. Scientists, listen up. There's your answer. It's Jesus. He is the one uniting force that holds all things together. Everything. Jesus is everything because Jesus, he is everything. Jesus has supremacy over all of creation, whether in heaven or on earth, whether things visible or invisible. He has the right to be the head of the church, as Paul says. He is the head of the body because he is the head of the church, because he is the Son of God. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He is the one who is in charge of the church. This really means that as the pastor, I'm not in charge of the church. Our chairman, Chris Cramp, sorry buddy, you're not in charge of the church either. Deacons, board members, you're not in charge of the church. Members, I know this is congregational government, so it must be the members, but members, you can't outvote Jesus. I'm sorry, you can't. I don't care if you got 50% majority or not. You can't outvote Jesus. Sunday school teachers, anybody in authority in this church, you're not in charge. Each of us in this congregation has a certain responsibility. Certain areas and roles that we play here, but make no mistake, we do not have the final say. We do not have the final say in how this church is run. Neither does any district superintendent, any council, any national office, anything like that. This church is Christ's church. And as long as this church belongs to Christ and listens to Christ and obeys to Christ, it will truly be a church that is Jesus Christ's. If we're not, then we're not going to be a church at all. Now, Jesus does tell us that we have been given a position of authority in the church. It's true, in spite of everything I've just said. Jesus wants to give us the possibility of greatness in this church. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus wants to give us the possibility of greatness? He wants every person in this room to have greatness in this church. It has nothing to do with what position of responsibility you hold. It has nothing to do with whatever experiences you may have as a child of God. It has everything to do with how much Jesus is the Lord of your life. For it was the Father's good pleasure. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven. Christ is the peacemaker. Christ is the manifestation of God, the sovereign creator. He is the head of all of the churches. But there are churches who just don't want him to be the head. They don't allow him to be the head. They're just church in name. The sum total of all the power and all the attributes of God, they're in Christ. Who wouldn't want him to be the head? Other religions distribute all of the divine powers among lesser spirits or lesser gods. They've got 45 different gods and they all have different power. Not ours. Paul gathers them all up in Christ. He says, in Christ, they're all there. Christ is the divine perfection. He's not just a part of it or almost all of it, but all divine nature in all of its fullness is found in Christ. It dwells, it's in permanent residence in Christ. It's not just a temporary visit, it's always there. Only a divine person would create a world, or who could create a world, should be the head of the church, so that he can reconcile the entire world to God. Do you remember when the disciples, James and John, they got this great idea in their head? And they said, we're going to go talk to Jesus. Let's go ask him some important questions. They wanted to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. In glory. You see, they wanted positions of authority and power. And Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I baptize you with? Oh yeah, we can. No problem. For sure. Sign us up. You will drink the cup, Jesus told them. And be baptized with the baptism that I baptize you with. But to sit at my right hand or my left, that's not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Prepared by the Father himself. And there are a couple of occasions when we read about the apostles getting into arguments about who's the greatest disciple. Who's the biggest and the best. But Jesus calls them together and he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be the slave of all. So if you want to be important at Maranatha, then become a servant. Find a way to minister to others in a way that would honor Jesus, because I tell you, the most humble servant in this church has far more respect and honor in the eyes of Jesus than anybody in leadership who's seeking it for their own gain. Because the person who lives their lives in the way that glorifies God, that shows that Jesus is the Lord of their life in everything, that's who God wants. That humility. So basically what Colossians 1 is telling us here is that Jesus has the right to be our Lord because of who he is. He is God. I want to close this morning with a video. In 1976 in Detroit, Michigan, an elderly black pastor by the name of S.M. Lockridge. S.M. stands for Shadrach Meshach. You know the man is black when he... Shadrach Meshach. Anyways, it gives a description of Jesus. I've shared this video in the past with you, but I want to show it again this morning. So let's watch this video. Now, Pastor Lockridge did a really good job. He gave an amazing description of the indescribable, but he missed out a couple of things. Allow me to finish up with a paraphrase of our text this morning. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the creator of all that is created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning of all things. He is the firstborn of the dead, He is the every in everything. Amen.